الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. Beloved elders and brothers, alhamdulillah. Just echoing also the sentiments of that Mawlana Zain Sahab, that all enumerated so many different things that we should be grateful to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for. And one of the things is we should be grateful, which we don't even consider, is the fact of all the ulama that they're speaking and what subject matter they put in. That how Allah Ta'ala makes intizam, preparation for each person to speak something different and facilitating according to the needs of the people. That there was no planning before in that who's going to speak what and which topic, but Allah puts it in the heart of every speaker. So this is also a ni'mat from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And the preparation of that alim beforehand. So we should be grateful, thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for that as well. And sometimes maybe we have in the lineup a person, I will speak about something and that person also speaks about the same thing. But then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala makes it such, Allah Ta'ala's mercy and the barakat, that's what they say. I read something very beautifully recently. They said that one person was sitting in the front, and whilst he's speaking, and he's seeing the subject matter is just flowing, and points, he's pulling out such unique points. And then all of a sudden it stopped because he started attributing, he said, wow, what a great person, it's just coming on my tongue. But in the meantime, his sheikh was sitting there, or a pious person was sitting in the gathering, and he was putting his full focus and attention on him, and drawing Allah's help, and putting his focus, tawajjuh, on him. And by virtue of that, Allah Ta'ala was opening up. And the moment that sheikh, that pious person took the focus away, immediately it came to an end. So sometimes the person on the second, accordingly, that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala facilitates, Allah Ta'ala makes that arrangement that the sheikh is there. And sometimes if the sheikh, when he's speaking, or the mulana is speaking, or this whoever the speaker is, he should look at it, it's not my side, it's from the sheikh side, and the sincerity of the audience, sincerity of the musallis, that they are sitting, they got some quest, something on their heart, and because of that Allah is putting it on my tongue. And really these are occasions where we come and we should learn that these gatherings, there's a live connection here. There's something that's alive, we have to get ourselves corrected. And I heard so beautifully from Mulana Rahmatullah Wazir, he mentioned sometimes when, like Mulana also said, he's not worthy of sitting, and we also, may Allah make us realize, we're not worthy for us to get all of these honors. Ourselves, just coming into the masjid, we're not worthy of it, to sit in the house of Allah, to be called for salah. However, he said that, a very beautiful thing, he said that, sometimes you'd be so scared that, how am I going to sit in the front? How should I speak? I feel very reluctant. I'm not going to say anything. But he says that eventually, I said that if my sheikh have instructed me to come, then I didn't realize that his full focus, his heart and soul and his tawajjuh will be fully on you at that time. And that's what we're coming for. We're coming that the sheikh's tawajjuh, his faith, his nuraniyat, that which is brimming in his heart, that must be transferred to our hearts. That's what we're coming for. So we submit to the instructions of our elders. May Allah Ta'ala give it to us. And we see that why I'm mentioning this also, if you are sincere, may Allah Ta'ala make it that you are sincere, and even if you are far away, you're thousands of miles away, but you're streaming in. If you are sincere, Allah Ta'ala will make you feel that live wire, your live wire will be connected. I remember 2 years ago, I said, by Mulana Musa gave the instruction that I must speak. And then I said, I spoke here, alhamdulillah, and then I said, after the Asr program, I'm going to ask Hazrat, what do you read when you speak? Or what dua should you make? Or what intentions should you make? So Hazrat gave his whole talk. And after he gave his talk downstairs, Hazrat Wala, Allah Ta'ala give him jazai khair, Allah Ta'ala reward him with abundant reward. And I always tell my family at home, you know, whatever we are doing in our life is the barakat of our sheikh, nothing else. And he's the steam of our life. May Allah Ta'ala put it in our hearts and make us realize that these are, you know, the engines and the coaches that are pulling us. So the whole talk ended, and I was thinking like, you know, maybe even while Hazrat is walking upstairs, I'm going to ask him. And as Hazrat was about to do, then it's just like, oh, okay. It like dawned on Hazrat, and then he mentioned, these are the du'as that you must read. I was like, subhanallah. This is when we have talab. Not that I have it. May Allah Ta'ala give it to all of us. Bless it to us. Like I said, even if you're far away, the sisters are listening online, our mothers, people are in different countries tuning and listening. If you are sincere, even if you are sincere, no matter how far you are, like they said about Mu'ana Yusuf Sahib, when the maqsad moves away. So when you are sincere, you may be how far away, but you picture yourself, Ya Allah, that faith, that noor that's coming down, pass it on to me and you'll feel the same noor. Although you have to come here as far as you can, as possible, doesn't mean you will sit back and relax. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, Allah give us understanding. Beloved elders and brothers, Majalis-e Abrar, very, very beautiful kitab. It's in our silsila also, the sheikh of our sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Muhammad Hakim Akhtar Sahib, his sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haq. In his majlis, she got something very beautifully written. It's not actually a topic here, but just pointed that in. I said, I must share it with the brothers. Is that he said that not every addition in our life, advancement in our life, progression in our life is something which we like or pleasant. And he said, sometimes if you have a cup of tea and a fly falls in, then nobody likes that addition. Somebody draws on a wall, nobody will like that. Somebody put shoes on our floor in our bed. We put a beautiful, now somebody walked with gumboots and they're putting it on the bed. Well, we tolerate that. Although it's something extra, but we won't like it. And then he said, these are the akabini Allah, but they like even what Zaki Bakhtar Sahib has written in the kitab which we read in Ramadan. He said, may our lives be sacrificed for our mashayikh, that such complex things, they simplify it with simple examples. A simple one example and the whole thing is solved and you can understand it in the context. So then he says, furthermore, if you see a net, and in this little net, those who have been in Jamaat, Allah take us all over the world, Hazrat bin emphasizing so much to make the effort of deen, and take deen to the four corners of the world, and make it our mission of life to spread Allah's deen. He says that in there you have a machardani, which is a small net. He says if 2-3 mosquitoes get in there, then when anybody be able to rest in there, while the mosquitoes are in there. Although it's 2-3 mosquitoes, Hazrat has written, Hazrat Masha, Abraar Haq Sahib, he said those 2-3 mosquitoes, and how much blood are they going to drink actually? Will they bite you? Maybe one droplet, or one portion of a droplet. If you squeeze it, you'll hardly even see any blood coming out. But he says, will anybody rest in that net? They won't get any rest. He says, how is it such? How is it such that when we see that in our own circle, in our own homes, things that this munkarat, evil and vices come in our circle, and we don't become restless? He says, if our foot becomes a little bit swollen, as it is explaining, if our foot becomes a little swollen, although it's getting bigger, it's something better, it's supposed to be more, but he says, we'll run immediately to the doctor. If a splinter goes into our finger, and when it goes in our finger, we'll be restless till that splinter is removed. If some dust goes in our eyes, we'll become restless. But how is it that we see in our homes, photos are coming into our homes, television in our homes, our children got Western hairstyles, somebody makes a mistake in that hairstyle, our child, there's no beard. All the vices and haram that are taking place at home, and how is it that we don't have, for a little mosquito we say that it will disturb our whole night sleep. What about one picture that destroys all the angels that are supposed to come into our home? We know so many riwayat to explain. One occasion Rasulullah was waiting for Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's waiting, he became restless, his honorable spouse, our mother, asks, and she asks that, Oh Rasulullah, what is the matter? He says, I'm waiting for Jibreel. Jibreel promised to come today. But he's not coming. And then it dawned upon him that there was some puppy or something in the house. And when he removed that, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came the next day. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam explained. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam addressed him. Oh Jibreel, what is it that you are so late? That you are waited, I was in anticipation for you. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, do you not know that when there's a puppy or there's any animate picture in the house, then the angels not enter that home. So how much do we have that in the home, and we're depriving our children? We're asking ourselves, where's the rahmah, where's the mercy? And how many other vices and wrongs, and there's, we don't have to pull wool over our eyes. We know what's happening in our own homes. May Allah Ta'ala make it, alhamdulillah, maybe not to us, but so much in our own society we should have worrying. We allow our children to bring the television into the home, games which are not right. Sometimes to this extent, the friend is telling us recently, he heard some noise. This is, you know, we say maybe, why is the Mulana talking about this? But this is all things that we need to take out of our life. He says, he heard some loud noise in the room, and anybody who see in the room, he says, a boy is coming to visit his daughter. So how are we going to accept that day? These things we need to take it and cut it out of our life, and then we'll see. Then little one mosquito disturbs our night sleep. One wrong, it will disturb our entire peace of our deen. And not only our entire peace of our deen, our entire akhirat afterwards. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and give us the power and the ability to take out these wrong from our life also. Beloved elders and brothers, which was elaborated very greatly on, you know, lowering the gaze. But important aspect is that we are very lacking in hijab. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala addresses us in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُونَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. That when we're asking for anything, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah explained this in the book called Ma'arif-e-Akhtar, very beautifully. He says, as Maulvis, the people complain, And one, you see, the people complain that the Maulvis are just, you know, going on and ranting about the same thing, lowering the gaze. Why are these Maulvis so weak? They must be able to muster up the courage to look, and they mustn't have any feelings. So he addresses, Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayhi addresses, he says, you're saying the Mulana is weak. I want to ask you a question. Could you say that the Sahaba were weak? That the Quran is saying that when you ask the honorable spouses, our beloved mothers, when you're asking them for anything, then you must ask from behind a hijab. So are you insinuating, are you saying that the Maulvis are weak? So are you at the same line when Allah is addressing the best of creation, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? We all agree unanimously. Sahaba after the Anbiya, the Sahaba are the greatest. Allah is addressing them, and who is it being addressed? That they are speaking to the Ummahatul Mu'minin, our mothers. That when you ask them any masala, when you ask them any question, then you must ask from behind a veil. So he, Hazrat Wala says, was the Sahaba weak? When the Quran was revealed, it was revealed at that time by them. Sahaba was in their midst. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the most pure. And if you look at the qaida of Quran, al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, like that the Quran, wa-tayyibatu lil-tayyibin, that those who are most pure will be pure for. So according to the purity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummahatul mu'min will also be the same pure. As their purity level and the status of their chastity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummahatul mu'minin will be on that same level. Now was there any question of doubt of them? But Allah has still facilitated that there must be a hijab. Here we see a great lesson that in all our matters there must be hijab. Wherever we're going, whoever we're speaking to, there must be hijab. And in these gatherings, we will learn, this will be where we learn the basic etiquettes which will be going wrong all our life. Many a times in the airports, while we're traveling, going to the filling station, filling up, at the banks, wherever we're going, how are we slipping up at all of these occasions? One point is that we make a joke, which Hazrat Wala brought to our attention, that sometimes you make a joke, and when you make that joke, you're destroying all your amal. You think, I'm just making a joke. Well, we're not supposed to be making a joke at that time. We're supposed to be lowering our gaze, which was explained so beautifully. And from both sides, and another beautiful point which Hazrat mentioned, may Allah Ta'ala give it to us, that sometimes we are forced maybe to look or whatever it is, but it must not register with us. It's there in front of us, but we're not seeing. It's like blank to us. May Allah Ta'ala open it up to us in such a way that we can come to on this level. Then we look at it from the different angle, is from the other side. You know, when we say the men must lower the gaze, then sometimes our mothers and sisters don't feel the same. They look. They want to see who's this person going by. The command is equal for them. On one occasion, which also from Ma'arif Akhtar from Hazrat Wala, Rahmatullah Alayh, Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu was visiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Safiya radiallahu anhu was there. And whilst they were there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them, ihtajaba, that lower your veil. Now we want to concoct our own stuff and make our own understanding. Now this is where we should take our cues. This is where we will see, is our life, put our life on parallel to this year. Is this who we are following? And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we have to follow. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he, afa yawani antuma, are the two of you people blind? That they said, oh Rasulullah, that he is blind, he cannot see. Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu is blind. So Rasulullah instructed the two of them that they must put their veil. So we would say, no, it's fine, he's blind, he can't see. But the Nabi of Allah was teaching us that they, our mothers, and it's the Quranic verse, وَقُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنَ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ, that our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, they must also lower their gaze. And thus we see the great fitna of the television and that as well. That how is it possible? How is it possible for a person to watch a program and not lower the gaze? I don't know, maybe if somebody can show us, how do they watch a program and they don't see the person on the TV? It's not possible. So that you cut it off from the roots, the Quran cuts it off from the roots. That there's no scope for it. There's no chance of it. Because the Quran cuts it off from its roots. And here we see it from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is instructing his wives to lower their gaze for a blind sahabi. May Allah Ta'ala open up our eyes. May Allah Ta'ala make us realize. And this is Islah. This is the correction of all our things in our life. On one occasion, sometimes people say, you know, it's just the first glance. It's the first glance. No, accidental first glance. That first glance is, if like Hazrat Wala explained, may Allah Ta'ala give him jazai khair, our beloved Sheikh, Allah Ta'ala put true love in our hearts. And like Maulana Muhammad said yesterday, the GPS, and all our satis are saying GPS, genuine pious Sheikh. May Allah Ta'ala make us genuine pious, all of us. And make us true lovers of Allah, true lovers of Deen, and make our hearts brim with the love of Deen, love of Allah. And this will come, when we come to the end, we will come to the 1-2 points on that. And Hazrat Wala explained that yes, first glance, accidental glance is if a lady pops in here to the masjid now. That was the accidental glance. Not if you're going into the shopping center or you're going to a marketplace. And Hazrat Mohammed Patel was crying at one occasion. I listened to a clip. And he says, youngsters who have repented, we say, no, there's a souk on. We'll send all our mothers and our daughters. And I had this clip recently. He said that these youngsters who reform, we can believe it or not believe it, but these are the Allah walas. And they're taking a qasam in Allah's house, speaking with wudu in Allah's house and friends of Allah. He said, youngsters came and they came to repent and they changed their life. And they told us, Hazrat, that we used to go specifically to the marketplaces, to the souks that we say, Muslim souks. And our sole intention for going was just to, so that we could rub our bodies against the ladies that were in the souk in the marketplace. And Hazrat Wala went into like a you know what, like into a josh, I don't know how to say it in English, but he went into a mood where he said that, then he said, where is your ghairat then if you're allowing this? Your man should, his blood should curdle, his hair should stand up, and he should be restless if he allows this here. And he says that, this is not the place for our mothers, this is not the place for our sisters. And Hazrat put it so beautifully that we should be with our spouses wherever they go. They're shopping, anything. We should take them. We should be there with them. And Hazrat, the one example sums the whole thing up. He says that, think of it that when you sing a lady, and she's sitting there, or she's on a flight, or she's somewhere, and she's alone. Ask yourself, what's your mindset at that time? And then when she's sitting with her husband, or she's sitting with a mahram, then see your mindset, how your mindset changed. Nobody has to, if you're not sure, recognition, but in your mind, you know what I'm saying. That when she's sitting alone, how's your mindset towards her? And when she's sitting with her family, how's your mindset? So we should be with our spouses wherever they go. So on this, on one occasion, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى. Now who was the iman of Sayyidina Ali? He was so iman. مَزْدَدْتُ إِمَانًا. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu explained, this is all from Ma'arifi Akhtar, from our what we say as Imam Abdul Rahman said, our Dada Sheikh, Allah Ta'ala give us to take that fuyuz at the noor. He's saying that, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, if I see Jannat and Jahannam with my eyes, it won't increase my iman. Oh, iman in it won't increase by one bit. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him that the first accidental glance, that one is pardoned, but not the second one. Now Sayyidina Ali was high on that iman. Now who, you and I, who are ordinary people who are fallible, who are prone to it. And we said that, explained so beautifully yesterday, that 3 minutes, 15 minutes of uneasy, but in another time you look and you're unable to control yourself. Then it's not 15 minutes, it's 3 days. 3 days you can't sleep. And then also what happens afterwards. Also listening to women's voices. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about that they should not speak in a soft tone. How is it possible to be listening to their interviews, listening to their programs, listening to their qiraat competitions? That's not appropriate for us. Everything of a woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it attractive. And if we listen to this, the heart starts inclining. The heart is a great thief. We might think, no, it's alright. And many people, you know, who say, no, I'm alright, but they don't know what pleasure the heart is stealing from there. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. And on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, Sayyidina Abu Huraira, ittaqil maharim takuna abadan nas. That you should stay away from the prohibited things. You'll be the greatest worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to mother-in-law, sister-in-law, especially anybody, if it's your brother-in-law, on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining that your women shouldn't enter into by the men, the men shouldn't enter by the women. The one Ansari stood up and he asked, Nabi of Allah, what about al-hamu, the in-laws, what we do about them? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-maut, that, you know, al-hamu, al-maut, it's like death. Your brother-in-law, anybody who could marry your wife possibly after your death or in your life, or if she's not married, then that person, you have to keep strict parda about it. Whether it is a nephew, your husband, the wife's husband's nephew, the brother-in-law, the auntie's husband, all of that, they need to be parda, that they need to be kept, meaning we need to veil and protect ourselves. So many times, there's a beautiful story, as Akif Akhtar mentioned, that one occasion, a person came to, he came to bay'ah to one of the mashayikh, and after he came to take bay'ah to the sheikh, he said that, you know, we used to eat on a table, and my brother-in-law used to sit with my wife. And after a little while, I took bay'ah to the sheikh, and I realized this is wrong. A lot of times our families object in it, but, you know, as I say, you want us to remain a child. As we realize wrong, now we have to change it. We can't remain the same all the time. When we realize we do something wrong, then we have to bring it and rectify it. This is what Islah is all about. So he came and he said that, look here, it's not right anymore. We can't sit together on the same table. So the brother took great offense. And they took it, if I'm not mistaken, it was Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali. So they took that, now my brother doesn't want to serve me anymore in front of his wife. They're keeping it separate. So then they went to go put this case before Mawlana Tanwir Rahmatullah Ali. So Mawlana Tanwir Rahmatullah Ali said that, when you were coming to visit, who were you coming to visit? Were you coming to visit your sister-in-law or were you coming to visit your brother? She said, no, I was coming to visit my brother. He said, is he presenting the food to you nicely? Is he giving you your food? He said, yes, he's giving my food, but it's separate. So he said, make tawbah from your sin. That what you are doing, you're supposed to be visiting your brother, and that chore in the heart, the thief in the heart of getting that pleasure, which you might not accept, but getting that pleasure of sitting with your sister-in-law, make tawbah from that, and be happy now that your brother greets you nicely, he speaks to you nicely, he's serving for you nicely. But that's the actual teaching of Islam, that it must be separate. Segregation is a great importance of Islam, and we don't have this in our life. We're sitting yesterday, coming and traveling. One brother, I was telling him, that in Islam it teaches the beauty of Islam. In Islam it teaches the beauty of hijab, that our mothers are so protected that nobody is allowed to see them. So he said this was the exact words. Allah knows best if he's true, or you know, sometimes people are purposely putting, but this was his words to me. He said, so many times, well, I agree, he's a non-Muslim, and we were trying to speak to him about how beautiful Islam is. So he said that, let me tell you something, I fully agree with you with hijab, but how many a times I see a lady in Muslim, I said, I have workers, this was his word, I have workers who their wives want to protect themselves, he's a non-Muslim Christian. He said their wives cover themselves, and the man, he goes on the gravy train of lustful glances, and he doesn't protect himself. So how is it that we creating such a disservice to deen, that such a wrong representation of Islam? And I said, I'm going to end off Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahab, may Allah Ta'ala give us. We cannot explain the love that he had for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But he says, let me tell you something, and I'm ending off this extra 2 minutes, 3 minutes, Allah forgive me, is that he says, I'm disclosing to my associates and my friends something today, that let me tell you the crux of my 75 years of my life. Let me give you the crux, the essence, the khulasa of my 75 years of my life. And he says, this is something which I'm not supposed to disclose. It's something which I'm not supposed to disclose. But I'm only disclosing it to you because I want to tell you something. That the closeness that I found, the proximity that I acquired through this act of lowering the gaze, I haven't found it anywhere else. And then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not promised the sweetness of iman in the recitation of the Quran, or in salah, or in act of zakat, or sadaqah, but Allah has promised you, Allah has promised that that person who crushes himself at that time and restrain himself and lower his gaze at the time when the temptation is there, Allah will bless him with the sweetest of iman. He says, I repeat this to me. You can go to all the hunkers in the world. They give you many wadaif and things to read. Come to here, I will tell you something. Read your farz salah, read your wajib, do your sunnah mu'akkadah. After that, just protect your gaze, and in a short time you will be a great friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, some people experience, time is finished, I'll just end off on this note. He says, some people experience Eid. They experience one. And remember, my beloved brothers, he said also that when we read, if we have not controlling our gaze, it's not under control protection, then he says, even our Quran tilawat will bring us restlessness. Our Quran tilawat will bring us bechaini if we don't protect our eyes. This is written by Hakim Akhtar Rahmatullah Alayh. And then he says that, listen to me, you're gathering wealth, but somebody's pickpocketing you, you'll never acquire anything. It's like a pickpocket, this eye is such a chore. He says that, beloved brothers, protect the eyes, the sweetness of looking, but then feel what intoxication the heart will feel. And he says, some people experience on Eid morning the sweet meats of Eid. But let me tell you, when a man learns how to protect his gaze and lower his gaze, that he thinks, my Allah's gaze is on me, when he learns that, then he says, he will have 100 sweet meats every day of his life. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. May Allah Ta'ala give us that we take full benefit from our Shaykh and all the Mashayikh. Allah keep alive all the Mashayikh haq of the world.